The wedding of Draupadi, King Draupadi's daughter, really started off as quite a grand affair. Kings, Brahmins, country folk, town folk, not only from Panchala, the city of King Draupadi, but around about, flocked in, and for some 2 weeks before the actual ceremony, they were royally entertained with performers, dancers, singers, wrestlers, and so on, and lots of food and stipends and things for everyone there, particularly the Brahmins. And the Pandavas, with their mother, had got news of what was going on and they joined in. And on the way, they met Vyasa, and Vyasa said, actual fact, they would win the prize, they would win Draupadi. Anyway, they went down there and joined in with all the others in anticipation of a great do. But when it came to the feat that had to be completed in order to gain the hand of Draupadi, everyone failed. The stringing of a very strong bow that the king had designed, hoping really that Arjuna would be the winner, knowing how competent he was at archery. Well, when all the kings had failed to actually string it, and there were a lot of them lying around in the dust, totally humiliated, then it was then that Arjuna got up and actually strung it very quickly, hit the target, and won the hand of Draupadi. Remember, he was disguised as a Brahmin, so everyone thought, who's this young lad coming up and gaining the prize that we'd come for? And the kings got pretty fed up about it. In fact, they were so angry that they quickly took to arms with clubs and the like. They said that, who is this Draupadi? He invites us here, he wines us, he dines us and what have you. He walks by, he treats us like muck, he treats us like straw, giving the Draupadi to a Brahmin. Let's go and kill him. And all the desire they had for Draupadi quickly disappeared. They said, and this girl too, if we see him, we'll chuck her on the fire. But what they did say, is very interesting because it brought out the balance of the caste, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaisya, Sudra, and the respect and the duties of those castes. Because they said, with this young Brahmin, we'll let him go free. He's actually insulted us, but he is a Brahmin. And they pointed out in the gossip amongst themselves that their kingdoms, their lives, their riches, their sons, their grandsons, they're actually all meant for Brahmins. If you like, these are all owned by Brahmins. They were anxious to protect their dharma, to do the right thing according to the law. And they pointed out that they should do this so that in any other swayamvaras, any other bridegroom choices, won't turn out such a mess as this one done. Quickly, Draupadi made for the Brahmins for protection when they came towards him with their clubs and the gauntleted hands and things like that. And the Brahmins said, come to us, we'll look after you. And then they emphasised, don't forget, Brahmin power is far more than Kshatriya power. And as the crowd of kings came towards the Brahmins, immediately Arjuna and Bhima stepped forward. Arjuna with his bow, the one he'd won, and Bhima wrenched up a tree, stripped the tree of all its leaves, and there they were, ready to fight. And immediately Arjuna got off 3 sharp arrows to Karna. Karna was at the head of the kings, and Salya took on Bhima. And with the 3 sharp arrows, the whizzed towards Karna, Karna immediately saw there was an archer of the highest caliber. And he called out, he said, who are you? Are you Parasurama? Are you some god? Are you even this or that? Or even actually, he mentioned the name Arjuna. And Arjuna said, no, I'm not. I'm an outstanding warrior, Brahmin warrior. And my guru has given me knowledge of the Brahma weapon and the Indra weapon, and I'm competent to deal with all these. Well, when Karna heard this, he took a step back because he realized that, in fact, Brahmin power was far superior to Kshatriya power. So he, in fact, retired from the battle. But at the same time, Bhima had got into wrestling with Salya. Salya, Anka Salya, very powerful man. So Salya of the Madras. And it, a lot of struggling and heaving and kicking with their knees and punching and what have you. Eventually, Bhima lifted him up the air and threw him down on the ground. But he didn't kill him. And at this, the kings realised nothing's going to happen. So they, in fact, came together and they just wandered off back to their kingdoms. Meanwhile, of course, the Brahmins were delighted. They were waving their deerskins around and cheering and crowding around Arjuna. And both Arjuna and Bhima found it very difficult to get out of the throng. Meanwhile, remember earlier that Yudhishthira had left with the mother and the 2 twins, really to protect her, and gone back to the little cottage, potter's cottage, really, actually. It's a workshop for the potter. But Krishna And Balarama and the other Vrishni heroes who were there, remember earlier, they thought they'd recognize, or Krishna thought he recognized Bhima and Arjuna. And of course, when they got up, they immediately knew that they were their cousins, that their cousins were there. But as the kings were leaving the arena, they were muttering amongst themselves that the whole arena was dominated by Brahmins and that it was against Dharma because the idea of a Swayamvara was a Kshatriya function. Back at the potter's cottage, Kunti was busying herself with this and that and the other, and she was very worried because the hour of begging, the time that they would normally go out to beg, had passed, and still Arjuna and Bhima hadn't arrived. And she thought, well, have they actually been eaten by the Rakshasas? Because there were a lot of Rakshasas around. Bhima had killed a number, and it was Rakshasa country at that, or had they somehow performed some sort of accident or some trouble? And she thought upon the words of Vyasa. Was it really true that in fact they would win, one of them would win the hand of Draupadi? When eventually in late afternoon, Arjuna and Bhima came to the door of the cottage. As I say, Kunti was busying herself inside the cottage, and in a sort of a cocky, jolly way, they called out to her, "Look what we found." And she carried on and said, "Oh, just share it out amongst yourselves." And that was the normal sort of thing she often said. But when she came through, she got an enormous shock, because there was Draupadi. She'd followed the brothers back, of course. And Kunti became most upset, because you see, the word of the mother is law. What mother said says has to be done. So she said, "Oh, what have I done?" And she took the hand of Draupadi, quite sweetly really, and she went over to Yudhishthira. The relationship was quite touching between the two. Often Kunti would ask Yudhishthira, as the head of the family, as the eldest son, this, that, and the other, and yet they would defer to her and ask of this, that, and the other. Anyway, she asked Yudhishthira, "What can be done? What can be done? I've said, how can I avoid adharma? How can I avoid it being a sin and going against dharma by what I've said? I can't actually break what I've said." Well, Yudhishthira comforted his mother, and he sat and thought it over for a while. And then he turned to Arjuna and said, "Arjuna, you won this maiden, you won this girl. So then, therefore, you should be the first to marry her. Let us put the fire together and go for the ceremony." But then Arjuna immediately said, "Well, you're the eldest brother. You'll be going against Dharma. Let her first marry you, then marry Bhima, myself, and then the twins." They all sat rather quietly looking at themselves and looking at Draupadi. They were all pretty keen on her. Yudhishthira realized that they all really wanted to marry her. They really fallen for her. And he remembered the words of Vyasa. So he said that Draupadi should be the wife to them all. While they were quietly sitting there and just really thinking upon the ramifications of one wife, five brothers and so forth, at the door came Krishna and Balarama. They introduced themselves, and of course they were delighted. There were the usual pleasantries of health and asking after health and so forth. And they sat down and talked, and the Pandavas said, "Well, we were disguised as Brahmin. How on earth did you know it was us?" And so Krishna said, "Well, you know, even when a fire is hidden, it can be recognized. When you see such bravery, it only could have been from you." Krishna said how it was such a good fortune that they'd avoided the burning in the lac fire. And after a little while, he said, "Well, we must leave you now, because if people learn that we're here, it could well actually be the destruction of your disguise." Back at Drupada's palace, there's still a query, a question mark in his mind about the Brahmin or Brahmins who'd come and had taken his daughter away. So he asked Drishtadyumna to follow them. So the prince with escort followed them, and the escort hid amongst the bushes, and he himself went quite near to the cottage and hid there. So in the evening, when Bhima returned, Arjuna returned with the twins, they handed over to Yudhishthira what they'd received from the round of begging that they'd done. Kunti prepared the food, and she asked that Draupadi give it to, first of all, the poor, offer it to God first, then give it to poor, and what's left over, to divide it into two, one half to go to Bhima, and one portion of the remaining half to go to each of them. And Draupadi very cheerfully did this. And after they'd eaten, they actually settled down and lay down on the ground to sleep. They lay parallel to each other. At the feet lay Draupadi, at their head lay Kunti. And in fact, the men who who had come from Drupada, they could see them there lying on the ground. And they nattered away, they talked away together. They talked about war and celestial weapons, about elephants and chariots and swords and clubs and battle axes and all sorts of gossip and tales about battles and kingdoms and so on. Well, when Drishtadyumna returned, he went to his father and told him exactly what he'd seen and what he had heard. Well, of course, to come next was how would the in-laws, Drupada, take the fact that his daughter was actually to be the wife of the five brothers. Well, that's something we'll have to look at next time. So, if you have been, thanks for listening.